Welcome everybody, not just Ian and Karen. Welcome everybody to the Vines. The 14th of November, who can believe it is the 14th of November? We would be weather like that. Oh, there's me, weather like that. A week when we had very low November temperatures, was it? I think they said it was the lowest November temperature since 1994 or something or other. And we've had Remembrance Day on Thursday. That's a reflective time for everybody, different thoughts, different people, different places we go to. And the Adelaide Christmas pageants arrived, who can believe it? Not through the streets, but at Adelaide Oval, full of colour, spectacle, smiles, and the nativity. All these things and more that help to colour and shape us, our interactions with others, and they make us individuals. With part of today's reading from Hebrews 10, verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not just yourself, but spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Ha! Okay, before we sing, I need to introduce you to my two new friends. They are congas. They are still not mine. They belong to Grant's son, who hasn't got any use for them for the moment, so I just keep the batteries running and use them because I don't have to climb into them. The djembe, I loved Mr. Djembe, but I had to put him on, whereas the congas, I just have to walk up and trip up on the stand, which I've done a couple of times already. Let's sing. Come, now is the time to worship. Can you believe it? Let's go. Here we go.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. And come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. And come, just as you are before your God.
2, 3, and
come.
Yes, we're here. Stay standing. All good. When I was driving buses, Americans didn't understand the button that I used to wear that had G'day written on it. They said, what kind of a day is a G-Day? You have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you have a G-Day. What is a G-Day? You've got to say it as G'day, mate. Okay, Ken, can I just have the lyrics up? I know we haven't started singing yet. Verse 2. Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Harmony, okay? That's me when I walk up to here and knock my knee on that stand and go, ha, my knee. No, sorry. The harmony. I'm a dad. I've got to keep those jokes going. Harmony, yeah. Harmony means different sounds. Anybody think we practice this? Different sounds, everybody together working. So I'm allowed to make my different sound. Ringini makes her different sound. Trevor, David, we all make our different sounds. That is harmony. So Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Harmony. Okay, let's go through it and sing the song right from the top. Let's go.
Four, three, two, and Jesus put this song into our hearts. Jesus put this song into our hearts. It's a song of joy no one can take away. Different faces, different races. He made us one. Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Jesus taught us how to be a family. Jesus taught us how to be a family. Loving one another with the love that he gives. Jesus taught us how to be a family. Turned our sorrow into dancing. Jesus turned our sorrow into dancing. Changed our tears of sadness into rivers of joy. Jesus turned our sorrow into a dance.
1, 2, 3, oi! Well done, beautiful. You may now sit down. Take a deep breath underneath your mask.
I think, you know, everybody's been talking about different fuel efficiencies and, you know, going electrical, but I think if we could somehow harness Rob's energy, we'd have enough to power most of the state. Look, welcome everybody. If you're here for the first time or it's been a while, good to see you. And those online as well, fantastic. Let me start with a few notices. There are Christmas cards that we have a whole selection of. So if you need to generate some pre-Christmas momentum and fitness, then delivering cards, you've got option to deliver 100 cards around your neighbourhood. Peter Croft, where are you? Please stand up. Oh, Peter's up the back there. So if you want to deliver some cards, increase your cardio fitness for Christmas, he's the man to see. And the idea is that Christmas cards can be a wonderful way of inviting people, knowing that this place is open. We're still here. In fact, we've got a number of people who are in this congregation as a result of either Christmas or Easter cards. So there you go, they do work. So are many people having the opportunity to enjoy the Advent sermon series studies? Like, yeah, that's good. Oh, that's good. It's always nice to know people are using it. The other thing I wanted to do was a special welcome. In the life of every community, there's always constant change. And normally they say in a church, you have to allow for a 10% change every year in people going and coming. So that's quite a significant amount. We're looking at maybe 15 people every year going or coming. And this year is no different. We've had people come and people go. And one of the things I wanted to do today was actually to recognize those people who have been a part of our community for the last 3 months in particular. And so for those of you who haven't met Yvonne McFarlane, if you'd like to stand, please. Lee Newcomb, please stand. Lisa's an apology, and so is Alistair. Helen Hardacre and her beautiful, wonderful daughter, Julie. So how have anybody else I missed? How about we put our hands together? Thank you. And let me share a prayer with you before you sit down. Lord Jesus, we thank you for life, love, and we thank you for the different ways in which you continue to build your body of Christ. We thank you for the gifts and talents and skills and just who they are. And we continue to ask that we might be continually open to the new people that we connect with and who bring their life and who they are into our midst and make us richer for the experience. Thank you, Jesus, we pray. And people said, amen. Thanks, guys. Please be seated. Now, today's theme is about provoking love. And I thought another way to talk about it is encouraging. So if the kids would like to come down and give me a hand, I think I'm going to need your skills today. I haven't got enough time to do all the drawing I need, so you guys are going to have to... Oh, where should I put this? Give me a hand. All right. So, geese. Oh, hello. How are you? Geese. You know what a geese... Do you know what a sound a geese does? Or a goose? I'll start drawing. All right. Look. They got duck bills. Oh, and they have a body. There's some tails. And there's, so they, you know, duck bills. While I'm talking, ducks have a particular way of flying, don't they? they have, when they fly along, they fly together like this. I haven't quite finished the drawing yet, people, so bear with me. And you know what noise ducks make or geese make when they're flying? Do you know, it starts with a, if you're driving in a car and you do this on your steering wheel, what are you doing to your steering wheel? Beeping a horn, so beeping, yes. So geese, when they're flying along, they beep each other or they honk each other. Have you ever heard of them honking each other? Onk, onk, onk. They're flying, onk, onk. So if you have a, so what I want to get you to do is come up here and draw some wings on these poor little geese ducky things, because they look like they're just flying through the air. So what I want you to do is come and get a text them and draw some, God, they're getting worse. So what I want, come and get it, here's a text them. Now what I want you to do, right, pull it off. What we're going to do is like this. You do like that. So that means their wings are flying, looks like dragonflies. Yeah, like this. Some wings. Looks like they're flying, that's right. Just not like that. No one's going to care. That's Dave's dodgy drawing, so it really doesn't matter. That's it, lovely. That's it. Nice. Then, whoop, good job. All right, jump down. Now let's have a look. So let's have a look at our effort. Well, good. Round of applause, please. So, when geese are flying along, they honk each other. And I've been doing some animal bird listening training, and I've discovered what honk means. See, this guy is flying along and says, honk, honk, which means, you call that flying? I've seen elephants fly better than you. This guy's flying on, honk, honk, hurry up, I'm being late for dinner. This one's, honk, honk, it's my turn. Do you think that's what's happening? What do you think they're trying to do to each other? They're flying together. Are they going to be criticizing each other and say, you're useless at me, lead? What are they going to be saying? What do you think ducks say to each other when they're flying along, or geese? Any ideas? Do they say, hey, you, hurry up, you're too slow? Do they say, come on, let's do it, keep flying? What do you think?
I think they would say that they, I forgot.
Oh, good. Well, I tell you what, you're doing a wonderful job. See what I just did there? I'm encouraging you. So what happens is these ducks are honking each other. Keep going, mate, you can do it. And this guy says, I'm too tired. So he flies around the back and he comes up over here. And so they just take it in turns and they encourage each other. So one of the things we're remembering is that the church, like all these people, are like geese and ducks. Quackers, you're all quackers. Onk, onk, onk. And so what happens is the honking is not criticism like, David, please be quiet, we're sick of you. No, it's David, keep going because we love you. Or we're encouraging each other, aren't we? That's what honking's about, isn't it? Yes. So today your challenge is you've got to do five things that encourage someone else. I want you to count up. One, two, three, four, five. So five, so encouragement might be, hey, you're doing a great job today. I really like that. So that's encouragement. Or I could say, thank you for helping me out with the pictures. That was wonderful. So that's encouragement. Or you might pack up the dishes. Or you might eat all your Brussels sprouts. Or, all right. Okay, I think I've probably said enough. And Sunday school kids, yeah?
We packed the dishes away.
Oh, you good. Good girls. Well done. A little help from Mark, probably, but good job. All right, I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to say a prayer, and then you guys have got some Sunday school this morning.
I literally forgot to make my bed this morning.
It's not too late. When you go home, you can make your bed. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for honk, the things you encourage us to do for each other, and we ask that we continue to grow in this, and we ask for a special blessing on these children and their lives as they continue to grow and flourish. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you very much. All right. Go that way. You got some Sunday school happening? See ya. Good to catch you. One other thing I was going to say for a notice as the band comes up. Again, we're still looking for people to be involved in the leaders' team, which is a church council. And so far we have Kristen Waters renominating for a year. Kristen, give us a wave over here, matey. So again, I keep inviting you people. 28th, we want to vote on this stuff. So today is the last safe day. If you suddenly have the Holy Spirit finally kicks your front door in and says, you, help, then let me know. Okay, so thank you very much. And we're still looking for a treasurer too. And as always, we always look for God's prompting and leading. So if God's doing a little bit of stirring, let me know. All right, thank you.
I was trying to think what we could use. Is it called an acronym when you use those four letters? HONK. Hold our names close. Maybe, anyway. Maybe by the end. If you get tired of listening to David in the sermon. No, that won't happen. So you won't. It'll be something you work on when you're eating your Brussels sprouts at lunch. That's okay. No worries. Let's stand and sing the hymn, Be Thou My Vision.
So remain standing as we offer to God our lives and this money. Lord God, for the gifts we give in time and talent and effort, for the money that we offer this morning and for online, we ask that you'd continue to use this as we reach out in love to our community. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Jack, you'll bring us our reading for today.
Good morning. This morning's reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25, a call to persevere. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and the living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
The next song that we're going to sing as we prepare for the sermon is Open Our Eyes. And since we've said, since we just sung Be Thou My Vision and Open Our Eyes, we could say this is the little optometrist section of the service. Let's sing Open Our Eyes. Stay sitting, stay seated. Were open then, and I'm going to do my first of five encouraging things today and say, you did good. That sounded nice, even with masks, so well done. Thank you.
Lord God, we thank you for the gifts and skills we all have, and the fact we're all different, and yet together we can make a great sound. We ask that as we spend some time thinking and being present here today, you would speak to us in a new and fresh way. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing I did forget to mention as a notice, on the 28th of this month, we have our congregational meeting where we look at the budget for next year. So our fearless treasurer has done a lot of work, and he would like the opportunity to talk to you about that on the 28th of this month. And so come along, be a part of that. And and this is also this coming week is my last week at PAC this year. So isn't that amazing? The whole year's gone almost. It's been a very rich and fertile experience. And I can't say my drawings have improved any, but just been an amazing effort to try and use my left and right brain to try and do some stuff differently, which I find very invigorating. So I guess whenever we do new stuff, it stirs us, doesn't it? We learn new things by doing things differently. All right, so enough of that. So today I am planning to provoke you. And if it's your first time here, my apologies for provoking you, but that's just how it is. Some days, that's what happens. And today is a day when I'm going to provoke you. Now, if you feel provoked by the end of this day, then I've achieved my aim. Now, you may be looking at me and thinking, man, I wish I'd stayed in bed. And I could be watching this online and just fast-forwarding. But, look, yeah, interesting thing about provoke. And our second slide picks up some different words that could be the same sort of thing. Like I noticed Rob used stirred up. What was it?
You're asking me to remember what I said.
Yeah, I know. Look, spur on. You are asking people to spur each other on. And so these are some different. Admonish, provoke, spur on, exhort, stir up, counsel, warn. I mean, the good old days when they're fire and brimstone, the preachers were provoking everybody. And I guess I'm not real sure that was helpful sometimes, but I'm sure somewhere some things were acceptable. For me, provoke, whenever I think about provoke, it seems to be very closely linked to anger. You know, I'm feeling provoked. People don't say that, oh, I'm feeling provoked. You know, there's some aggression in that, and there's some defensive response, isn't there? You provoke me, you're going to get a reaction. And I think sometimes when we look at Jesus, even Jesus was provoked or was provocative. Like when the time he went through the temple and just turned over tables and pushed people's money and opened up cages and animals and birds flew everywhere. Jesus was provoking others. He said, look what you've done to my father's house. He felt they were provoking him. Jesus was provocative. Now, no doubt Jesus provoked lots of people's actions as a result of that event. And, you know, you could often see the tension between Jesus and the religious leaders. That tension, underlying provocative stuff going back and forward all the time. Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. Well, that didn't go down so well. Next slide picks up some of the reading we had today. And it's really, I guess when you look at it, it's a lot of stuff in there we could unpack. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging, honk honk, one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So here, this is really a rich passage in Hebrews where Paul is trying to unpack who Jesus is and some of the connections between the old style of temple worship and the new thing that God was doing in Jesus that changed forever. So instead of having going to a temple once a year and have a priest do something for you, in your connection through Jesus meant you could actually have a personal, intimate relationship with God on a daily basis, at home, down the shops, down the street, wherever that may be. Hold fast to our hope without wavering. Provoke one another to good deeds, not neglect to meet together, but encourage one another. So I wanted to look a little bit at hold fast. The next slide picks up, again, that anchor series. And I just loved that anchor series we did last year, I guess. And just the rich aspects of what it means to be connected and anchored and held firm in the storms of life. And Paul was really trying to say, hey, when you feel like giving up, don't, because there's some things that will hold you fast. Do you know what they are? And so it's, I guess, part of the invitation for us as Christians is to continue to fine-tune what it is we believe so we know when the wheels fall off, what it is that is holding us. So one of my favorite questions to people is, when they've gone through a hard time, well, do you know what it is you've brought to this situation? How is it you're still here? What are you bringing? Because if they can name it, they can build on it. God is with me forever. I won't be afraid. I know God holds me. Now, when you have that sort of understanding, it helps. So it makes it very, you know, so the whole identity and connection we have. So one of the reasons Paul was writing to the Hebrews was because the early Christians were a banned organization. They were outlawed. In fact, they were put in prison. They were sold as slaves. They were sacked from their jobs. Meeting together was a dangerous thing. And so you can understand why people chose not to meet together. I mean, it sounds a very like our COVID situation in the last 18 months, isn't it? They, however, didn't have the luxury of online services. They didn't have the chance to sit in their lounge room in their PJs and watch this at whatever time it is. What Paul was trying to say is that even in the midst of these horrendous experiences, there are some truths that can keep you going. Nothing can separate us from the love of God was one of those fundamental things that Paul talked about. Now, they're just words until they become a part of who you are, your experience. When you've had your tears and your joy and your grief meshed together into that faith experience, so you know it's got some traction, makes it different. Most people who are Christians or have some faith will have a time in their life when their faith has been threadbare. A bit like your sock, you know, it's got a big hole in it, or whatever it is. It becomes threadbare. Just a strand or two holds it. It'd be interesting if we actually had a microphone and we could go around and talk about some of those things that you found hardest. And I think we would find that there's been a lot of agreement amongst us. There have been some things that are really, really hard. And yet, there are also some things that have kept us stuck or anchored. Maybe it's other people we're sitting around. Maybe it's a word or something. It's just fascinating, those things that link us and connect us. And again, it really depends on our understanding of God. Like, the other day I was driving and 5AA, David Penberthy was talking about a number of good people dying. So he's talking about Russell Ebert, died 71, talking about the Saka CEO, can't remember his first name, but it's Brayshaw, was his second, he was 59. Keith Brayshaw, so 59. And Pembo was saying, why is it that if God is love, all the good people are going early? Why can't God take the bad people? You know, take the criminals or take this or take that. Great theological discussion. 7:30 in the morning. Probably a bit early, but you know, interesting. And I was tempted to ring up and I thought, never seems to go well when they ring up a radio station. They always make you look like an idiot. It doesn't matter what you're trying to say. But I really thought, fascinating how, you know, depending on your sense of how God works in the world. So for Pembo, God was the God who just turned the switch off when people have time's up. You know, God was the God of let's turn off people's lives, a switch turner offer. Fascinating. So Pembo believed that God, you know, when people died, that was God's responsibility to choose when they left the planet. Now that was a very different view from my view. You know, and as a Christian, we would believe that the cross reminds us that God is a suffering God, not a distant, remote God who just sits back and watches everything happen below. God in Christ is present with us in our suffering, in our dying, in our living. And that is the big shift between how we understand God and where God is when we're going through hard times. And that's the anchor point Paul is trying to pick up. We are anchored to this God who is with us. Christmas message is God Emmanuel, God with us. Just that constant theme. And yet people tend to lose that perspective. One of the things Paul was talking about was, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Lots of people are quite happy to talk about love and good deeds. And, you know, how many times do we hear people say, I don't need to go to church, I'm a good person. I love my dog. I feed my cat. Yeah, I'm nice to people. I don't need to go to church. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure what people think happens when people come to church, that somehow they have their brain replaced and become mindless zombies that just walk around with a Bible. And, you know, I don't know what happens. It makes me laugh. When I was overseas in Afghanistan, I asked this guy to come and play his guitar in chapel. And you'd think I'd asked him to cut off both his arms, and you know, he just couldn't. And he started avoiding me, so I came up to him and said, "Mate, you don't have to play guitar in chapel." And he went, "Oh." And I looked at him and thought, "Mate, what is going on? Really? Really?" I look at you people and I have to tell you, you're not intimidating scary people. Neither are you. It's just like, what is going on? So it's a fascinating, fascinating thing that we live in a world where so much fear is involved around exploring life and mystery. But Paul's message was to provoke one another. Anybody going to school will know teachers are able to provoke you to work harder. I don't know about you, but anger has never been something that has generated good outcomes for me. A couple of times on the sporting field, I've managed to channel my anger beautifully for a good outcome. But most times, when you're talking to people and you get angry, it's just a fail, isn't it? Like, when was the last time you got angry with someone? How receptive were they to your view? I would have thought. Yeah, it's a bit like someone gets angry at me. I know I'm not receptive, but I keep forgetting that. And so somehow when I feel righteous and I'm on track, I still give it a bit of an angry flavor sometimes, and I forget the fact that people will just turn off. Interesting, isn't it? How that provokes doesn't work. So what is Paul saying? Is he really saying we should get angry with each other to stir up love and good deeds? Is that really what he's trying to say? He doesn't really sound too frustrated in this, but maybe it's a little bit about, you know, the next slide where, you know, whenever we're connecting with people, it's like we've got this big button and people are just wanting to push it. You know, it would be interesting if we could have a love and good deeds button. So, you know, you could push that for ourselves or other people, and suddenly they'd do love and good deeds. What do you reckon that'd be like? Like one of those wind-up toys? The girls were pretty fired up this morning, really pumped that they'd packed the dishwasher. Good deed was up and running, so good luck making the most of that one. But it's like we all have buttons. We all have those things that stir us. And I guess it's very easy to blame others. Let us consider thoughtfully how we might encourage one another to love and do good deeds. So maybe the word provoke needs to be changed. Maybe it needs to be changed, and this is a nice version I came across. Let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and do good deeds. In this version, it's the nice calm version. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So, this is where it becomes interesting, isn't it? We can't provoke people, we can't necessarily encourage people to love and good deeds, and it's a bit like trying to get people to come to church, isn't it? You know, it's very hard to find a way to do that that isn't seen as pushy. I've often thought we should do donuts on a regular basis, church after church. Well, how do you reckon that'd work? If we sat here and I was sitting here eating a donut, would you online be more tempted to come? Interesting thought, isn't it? I might put on a bit of size, but my goodness, chocolate donuts are wonderful. But what is it? You know, like I've had some friends who call themselves Christian or say they've still got faith, but I don't go because they didn't like all the hymns, or they said that, you know, the church is really just a social club, so I'm going to go and join Probus. So he did. So it's interesting, isn't it? So what is it about church we're trying to achieve together? What are we trying to do here? What have you been trying to do here for, well, 24 years, and Happy Valley's been going for 100 and how many years? 150? Something silly like that. So there's something about gathering together in community that has significance. What is it? We know that many people, particularly after COVID, have really just stepped away for a whole variety of reasons. And it'll be interesting to see what happens on the 23rd of November this month when they open up the borders. I really don't know what that looks like. My wife, as you know, is a nurse in a hospital, and they don't know what's going to happen. So there's a lot of anxiety that still kicks around, so maybe that's part of it too. But one of the things that I find fascinating about the Bible is it was written 2,000 years ago, and the problems we're having today, Paul had 2,000 years ago. So Paul was saying, hey, don't give up on meeting together. Why? Because it was an issue. People were giving up on meeting together. And so 2,000 years, we find ourselves in a similar predicament. How do we encourage and grow and help people connect in? What is it we're trying to do? How do we meet together? And again, it's like when we have the understanding that together we're stronger. That together, actually, we don't experience loneliness when we actually make a choice to come and connect in. And there's lots of people who are lonely in our world. And often instead of stepping out and doing something or joining, they step back. And I understand that. It just happens, but. So why is this important? The next slide I have. Encourage one another. And the following one after this one. Is this honk if you love Jesus. Can you remember when that was a thing? Yeah. Like, you know, people would have stickers and you go honk, honk, honk. I just sort of fitted in really nicely today with the kids' talk and what is the definition of a honk. And maybe we need to perfect our honk ability for each other. You know, I often call myself a white honky. It's not quite what this means, but it's like, how do we encourage one another? Like the geese, you know, honking, encouraging, a bit like Ian's sermon the other month where he was talking about how geese work together to sustain and support each other. And I'm thinking maybe one of the good things or deeds you could do this week is maybe, you know, who's missing out of this congregation you haven't seen for a while? Who would you like to maybe ring or go out to coffee with? Because this is a collective effort. It's a body effort. We're in this together. And as a minister, I can attract people or repel people. But the community is what makes people stick. How we collectively care for each other is what makes people stick. And so, you know, I guess part of, I hope you get the chance to honk a little bit this week to encourage someone. I don't know how you're going to do it. They don't need to come to church. Maybe it's your neighbor. Or someone down the street, or I don't know. Could be anything. I'm going to leave you to think about what honking and encouraging someone else might look like for you this week. So I'll give you a little bit of think time, and then I'll close with a prayer, and then Rob will lead us in a song or two, and then we'll go from there. So again, you take a moment. How are you going to address this? What do you connect with? Go on. Lord God, we thank you for the way in which the Bible continually invites us to step out of our comfort zones and to care for others in ways that are really simple ways. We just ask that you'd help us do this week. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite Colin to come forward and share with us some prayers. He's a good man. Thanks, Colin.
As I thought about this prayer this morning, during the past week, I thought continued to come with me, to come to me, and was that the Holy Spirit speaking to me about it? Well, eventually I did adopt what kept crashing into my mind. And it was a little prayer. It is included in this book, which I've brought with me, which now starts at page 7. And it used to be called A Book of Uncommon Prayers. And I bought it back in the 60s, so it's had a lot of good use. And this particular prayer that kept coming back to me was one that had me think about how big this world is and how small I am in it. What influence can I have in the world at large? And so something of this will come through in this prayer. The prayer is actually in French. Now, I won't try to say it in French, because those of you who know French well, if there are any of you here or online, will be criticising me. So, but I did find that my high school French was enough for me to be able to translate it. In any case, I've remembered this prayer word for word over so many years. And this is the way this little prayer goes. Protect me, my Lord. My boat is so small, and your ocean is so big. So let's pray together. Our dear God, we live in a big world. Your beautiful world, good at your creation. There is so much that goes on in it, and we know that your spirit of goodness and life must groan at much that we hear about. Lord God, we are bombarded by so many tragic scenes. We deplore the harshness of much that is around us. We weep as we see men, women, and children harassed by terrors of warfare around them. We see families who have fled their homelands and begging for someone to accept and care for them. We are aware of little children whose life expectancy is so short as they lack simple and adequate nutrition. We are aware of the abuse of our world's climate as nations exploit the environment. We are sadly confronted by leaders who seem to have so little concern for justice amongst the people that they are called to serve as they press on for greater power. Lord God, your ocean is so large, and our boat seems so very, very small. Yet we dare not hide in our small corner, for you have given us a heart to care for others and to be troubled by their woes. So we bring our prayers of compassion for those in need. And despite our small boat, we bring our resources that you might guide us in their use. Help us to use what little power we have to bring influence to bear. As people of God, help us to seek wisdom from your Holy Spirit in our areas of influence. Help us to work towards good government in our own country, and to seek to work towards care of people here and in places of need. Help us all to rise above politics to find a mission of love and compassion and integrity. We would pray then for our own needs as we bring them before you. We bring those in need that you might recognize, that we might recognize in your calling to us our need to be caring of others. To this end, we ask that though our boat be small, we shall not be found only in safe harbour, but also making our way in the large oceans of life. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Old things are good, Colin. Old books. Old things that we can use. This next song is a bit of an old song. Not real old, but old-ish. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. A spark, that's all it needs. We know that in 2 months' time, 3 months' time, 36 degree day, and we'll be sitting in here and we hear a siren go off and we're thinking, oh no, some little spark somewhere has got a fire going. But right now, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. This song sparked something in Renjini. Share it, please, Renjini.
Thank you, Rob. There are some songs that take you back memory lane. So this is one such of a song that really took. I haven't heard this song in over 20 years. So I just wanted to share a little glimpse of what this song meant to me in my childhood. I'm not going too much into detail, but there was a time when I was about 8 to 10 years old that we had a bit of a crisis back in Kuwait. It was the Iraq invasion war. My parents had to put both all four of us kids into boarding school, and it was a Christian boarding school. So while everyone went during their monsoon summer vacations back home, we were at the boarding school. We didn't have any other place to go. So being a Christian school, there was an option. If you wanted to, there was vacation Bible school, if you'd wanted to go for that. And there were some of us in the boarding house, and we were all good friends, and we thought, oh, why not? We'll just go. And and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience, because I can set the scene for you. It was up on a hill, and this massive, big church, and there were students in boarding school from all over the area coming together to spend those 10 beautiful days. There was camp, there were songs, there were dances, there was, you know, Bible stories. It was a lovely time. It was an absolutely beautiful time. And we learned lots and loads of songs. And this was one of the songs that really stuck in my memory for a very long time. It's a beautiful song. So I hope you get that little spark through this song as well as we sing it together. And the most important message through the song is us to let that fire out and to pass it on, because the fire that's raging within us, it's only beautiful when it's shared around. So I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you, Renjini. Sing along. Renjini's eyes lit up when she saw this song on Thursday night. We were practicing it. Whoa! So we thought, we have to get some of that light from Renjini's eyes, and we have. After this song, we'll have the benediction, and then we, as in all of us, will sing the third verse again, just as a going out thing that we will sing together. We will sing together. I will provoke you to sing it. Let's sing.
Wondrous time is spring.
Read these words out together. So just go back to that chorus. Please. Oop, next one. That one. Let's read this out together as our benediction.
I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want my world to know. The Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on.
May you get your wish this week. Amen.
Let's sing it together.
Wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I've found. You can't depend on him, it matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want my world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. I'll shout it from
week.